But this is on.
You can talk loud.
All right, yeah.
Nothing.
Got,
it should be on.
Yeah, got a green light. I did the back.
Say, give it a little.
There we go.
Another button.
Good evening. My name's Dave Blumseth. I will open this special meeting of Becker County Planning and Zoning Committee and ask its members introduce themselves, starting on my left.
Kim Mattson, Cormac Township. Nick Bowers, Erie Township.
Jeff Moritz, Lake Eunice Township.
Steve Lindo, Forest Township.
Mary Siebert, Erie Township.
John Oakland, Commissioner District 3.
Craig Hall, Highland Township.
Harvey Owl, Wolf Lake.
Kyle Harvard, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Mickey Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Thank you very much. All right, as I said, this is a special meeting for recommendations to amendments to the Becker County zoning ordinance. So there is no applicant, so what I'll ask is we'll go through these, proposal one first and then proposal two. I will give time for anybody in the audience who would like to speak to these ordinances. After that, are we going to do these individually, Kyle?
I think so.
Yep, okay. Then we'll close testimony on each proposal, and then the board will deliberate. We are a board of recommendation. This will be heard by the county commissioners on December 31st at 8:30 a.m. for final approvals. So, with that, Kyle, do we want to read these, or?
Yeah, I'll just introduce the first one. It's going to be Chapter 8, Section 17, which is cannabis performance standards for the production and retail sales of cannabis. Essentially, what it is saying is any type of cannabis activity would be a conditional use permit recommended by the board to the Board of County Commissioners. Then there's also just some details for what the application should have in terms of site plan, waste, setbacks, things of that nature. This ordinance here is very similar to what Clay County has already passed.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this proposal for the cannabis ordinance?
Just a minute, Dave.
Good evening. Roger Winder from the Becker County Township Association. But commissioners, I already have given them the information that the Minnesota Township Association has come out with a resolution that would, for what it's worth to the planning and zoning, that the resolution would delegate the cannabis retail registration to the county. So I'm planning on sending each township one of these resolutions, and they can decide at either one of their board meetings on what they want to do, if they want to handle it themselves, or sign the resolution and send it into the county. That's all I got to say on it.
All right. Any questions for Roger? Thank you, Roger.
Yes. We'll get them all sent to all our townships, and they can look, review it, and decide what they want to do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. Is there anybody else like to speak on this?
Can I just ask a question for Roger?
Go ahead.
Is the board going to be deciding this on December 31st? Is the township going to have a time for the townships to comment before then?
I'm not sure, it'll be up to the chair at that meeting, get on the agenda if your particular township wants to, but I have already given a short form of the resolution from drawn up by the Minnesota Township Association, which held their conference last weekend and adopted it.
Wondering if the timing of the township meetings, if there's going to be a turnaround time before the decision on.
And I think as far as county board, anytime after the first year would be great to meet at your next meeting, so you don't have to have a special meeting. You know, the state hasn't moved until June on what they're going to do and how they're going to issue permits, so you've got a month or two to get those in.
Yeah, John's right on that, because regardless of any permit on this resolution, we've got to get everything from the state. Am I right on that?
Correct. We have no direction yet from the state, John.
No. And the other thing, we don't know where we're at. I have asked down there in the county. We don't know us under townships on the reservation, what this resolution will do. We don't know. But it's something that will go to each township, and then they can decide if they want to sign it and leave it into the county's hands, or they want to place it themselves.
Gary Smith, our county administrator, is here. Do you have a comment?
Please step forward.
Good, I guess it's good evening. I was going to say good morning. Sorry. Really what this ordinance is going to do, and the board has taken the position that they really aren't going to look at limiting businesses within the county, mostly because there's not good understanding of how to go about doing that, and the fear is how do you determine who gets which business, and how do you do that if you're going to limit it to, let's say, three businesses in Becker County. So that's a position. So really, as this has been discussed with our board, they really just want to have some oversight on, you know, determining where these businesses can go. I've had discussions with DL. So in regards to the townships, and I've been speaking with Roger, you know, whether the board so chooses to pass this ordinance, you know, on the 31st, the townships still will have the ability to do their own ordinances and delegate to the county. So our time isn't going to impact, because of what we know. What I know is that very recently the state has pushed back rules and different things, and we don't expect that they're probably going to issue licenses for businesses until this summer. So there's additional time is what we're hearing. So is there any other questions that I can try to answer?
No. Good, that very well. Thank you very much. All right, anybody else to speak to this ordinance? All right, with that, we will close testimony, open up for discussion from the board.
I guess I'd like to comment, to me, under performance standards section B, I think those setbacks from the schools, the churches, daycare, you know, the parks, playgrounds, I think all of those are way too low. I would recommend they should be a minimum of 2,000 feet. You know, I had a conversation with Doug Lander. He's extremely concerned about this. How much do we really, I think the state made a horrible decision in deciding to do this. So I think we need to try and protect our kids, and I just don't think this makes sense.
Just from my school experience, I'm a teacher or a former teacher. 300 or 1,000 feet is 300 and some yards, and it's hardly anything. It's close. Students can walk very easily that distance and really not even be missed in school. So I would agree that those distances should be greater for the protection of the students.
Any other comments or discussion?
Where did these numbers come from?
Like I said, it's very similar to Clay County. That's where they're arbitrary. It could be 500, it could be 3,000. whatever you decide.
Kyle, aren't those numbers from the state?
And I think they are, yes.
I believe those numbers come from the state, most of them.
I didn't confirm that, but I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, I think those are the standards from the state.
Just my thoughts too, I think this is a far enough, that's just how I feel too. 500 feet, I mean, that's crazy.
So we can propose to change these?
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yep.
Let's have the discussion of what do we think is the correct distance?
Not at all.
5,280.
Yeah.
I like that number better. To me, I think, you know, I'll just, again, Steve and I don't agree on all that many things. In this case, I totally agree with him. To me, it's a matter of, if it can be where the kids can easily walk to it, we're just making it extremely accessible for them. Now, you look at what Clay County took with their vote, same thing on flavored tobacco. It's still going to be easy, but let's make it more difficult. To me, this is making it extremely simple and easy for them. I think we should just make it a little more difficult. Try and do a little bit of due diligence and protect the kids.
You figure maybe 3,000 feet or something, that's just over a mile. And you think about...
That's just over a half
a mile. That's a half a mile.
Okay, times two, because they got to walk there and back. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So you think about that time, it doesn't take long to walk a mile. A round trip. And so going a mile and a half kind of puts a limit on how far a student can go based on somebody's going to miss them. You know, they're skipping class, lunchtime or whatever it might be. They don't have that time to make that jog or that walk. So I would say, you know, something over a mile.
You know, we refer to students leaving the school, Steve. You got to be 21 years old to do this, so they're not going to walk into a store and buy it.
Right.
So,
I don't know, John.
Students have
lots of bars. Go to a lot of bars nowadays, and there's not a lot of 21-year-olds in that bar. Yeah. You know, so I'm just saying. Well, but you might want to focus on other things in here, such as daycares or residences, because we only have one school outside the county limits or city limits. And that's Faith Christian, so all the city setbacks would apply to schools. Well, yeah. This isn't going to apply to Detroit Lake High School or Roosevelt or anything of that nature.
No, but it would, Kyle, for the athletic field, the playground, all these things. I think they make them all the same.
We don't have any in the county, what I'm saying. So you may want to look at other things in here, like a daycare.
Okay.
Because we have more daycares than we do schools.
So this will have no jurisdiction over inside the city limits, Breezy, any of them.
Right.
They have their own.
We could set it at 3 miles, and if it was on the edge of city limits, it don't matter if the school is 500 feet away.
Right. So, I mean, you may, rather than spending an hour here on schools, you may want to think about residences or daycares or what you think like that. I mean, there are parks, obviously.
I'd be in favor of just doubling the ones we have here. So it's not going to affect the schools within the city limits.
No, but residents of the
church. So when they talk about a daycare, so does that cover like any then private licensed daycare that could be out in the country? And you don't always know where those are, right? I suppose somebody, maybe in the county, they're registered, but I mean, there's a lot of people who have daycares out of their homes that I'm just wondering how to know when to enforce that, I guess.
Well, I think when they come in for conditional use, that will be addressed again at that point.
Right.
They have to have conditional use to get this?
What's that?
They have to have a conditional use to open?
Yes.
So that it would come up.
Yeah. I'm kind of like with John's feeling. I think if we double this number, you know, they still have to come before us. It's a conditional use. We got to start someplace. Nobody really knows where this is going to end up, right? This is all pretty new.
Yeah. So we can, let's double that, and if there's issues, we can always come back and readdress it.
Yeah, it's an ordinance that can be changed in the future, so.
Yeah. I like 1,500 feet myself.
From everything?
But what's another 500 feet, I guess, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
If you look at like playgrounds and parks and stuff like that where kids are going to hang out, you know, I would prefer the 2,000 feet if we're going to make some suggestion. Again, just because anything less than that, it's too easy just for kids to walk down there and come back. Older kids, you know, to have friends come pick them up, they can go to wherever and come back and get dropped off. You know, the legal thing is 21, it sounds like, but a lot of 15, 16, and so forth year old kids have a lot of friends that are 21 and older. And having close access to any of these areas, the park, the playground, or a field, sets it up to make it easier for them to abuse the marijuana rule. So I guess I would like to see, we're going to have to pick something, the doubling 2,000 feet, make it something that is got some distance to it.
I don't know that the distance when you're talking age of those kids, if they come pick them up with a car another 1,000 feet or 1,500 feet, doesn't make a difference. And the people who can't drive, and it's not, to me, it's not about who can walk there. It's about the traffic and the people that are going to these places and what's the proximity to where a playground is. Not necessarily that the people who are on the playground are walking to the place dispensary. You know, it's what's the proximity of the traffic and the people going to the dispensary in relationship to these, whether it's the daycare or whatever. That's where I see the issue. And I think doubling this from the proposal accomplishes that, because once they're of age to drive, the distance don't matter.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. It's the clientele hanging out at the dispensary. Yeah. How close do you want them to a playground?
Right.
Yeah. So I think it needs to be lengthened a little bit, but I don't, whatever you guys think.
You know, my thoughts are you really keep adding distance if you're going to be going through initial use and getting changes.
You're going to be going to the Board of Adjustments is what you're going to do, because I don't think it's going to be just a dedicated dispensary. I think it's going to be just like gas stations sell alcohol and tobacco. I think they're going to be doing the same thing, liquor stores, what have you. So if you make it too difficult, you're just going to be applying for variances. And the practical difficulty will be I can't meet it anywhere, because if you go 3,000 feet, that's just over a half mile from any residence or anything of that nature. You'll be putting these, it'll be in your neighborhood. But.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think you're right. I get what you're saying and the clientele and stuff like that, but going too far, we're just going to go to a different board and ask to be closer.
If you make something too easy for underage kids, that's not good either. Making it too difficult might be, you know, there's other ways around that. But making it too easy, 1,000 feet, you know, is easy to get around for kids. And so I guess I would prefer the 2,000. Yep.
If you go too far, you aren't going to have any businesses in the county.
Yeah.
Not so sure that's a bad thing.
Which I'm fine with.
We're going to get it whether it's bad or good.
You're probably right.
But state law, Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, we have to allow three.
Yep.
We have no choice.
So by population.
In the county.
Yes, by the county, by population, you have to have it because of our population three at minimum. But then there's also some clauses, if you read further into some of this fine print on some of these, it talks about being reasonable. So, you know, that comes into play if you start saying this far apart, which makes it impossible for anybody to do business. So I just want to keep that on here.
And the three in the county, Carrie, doesn't include what Detroit Lakes might allow?
It doesn't necessarily, depending on if they're doing their own rules. I can tell you that I've had conversations with DL, and they have they've done some of their work, but they're struggling like a lot of the other entities as well. But they keep asking about deferring to the county. With that, you know, they would probably jump on board if the county were saying we're going to restrict at three. And then keep in mind, we do have the smaller, you know, cities in the county too, that I'm not clear what they are, you know, going to do, because then they would be dealing with some schools and different aspects in the smaller cities as well. Another piece that's unclear for our county, and we're unique, is, you know, we are within the boundaries of the reservation. It's not real clear how that all plays into this either. Any other questions before I sit down?
No, thanks.
They're not governed by the...
I'm sorry.
The reservation isn't governed by the same rules, and that goes into Callaway.
Correct, but what I do know is that just recently, land has been purchased in Clay County along the corridor 336 by White Earth. And so then the question is going to come into play, what are they going to do with that land? How is that, are they going to put it into trust? Is it going to be subject to taxes? You know, I mean, there's just a lot of, because, you know, our county is surrounded, or lots of it was within the boundaries of the reservation. And I don't think, I've asked lots of questions with regards to how those two interplay, and nobody really has any clear answers for that. So we're in the world of the unknown, is what I would tell you.
Yeah. I would make a motion to double the setbacks that are on the paper right now, and then.
And approve everything else in the ordinance as submitted. All right, I have a motion by Kim to double the setback amounts on here and approve everything else way the ordinance is presented. Do I have a second? Got a second by Tom. All that, right? Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
The second proposal would be in regard to feedlots, looking at a new definition, and then looking at an increase for permissible feedlots from 500 up to 1500 for the comp plan discussion, and some outreach there. The agricultural folks are looking for 2,500. We reduced that to 1,500. And then also an increase for feedlots over 1,500 animal units from the public waters from 300 to 500. And then also a suggestion of looking at doing some well testing for water quality for those feedlots over 1,500 as well.
All right, thank you, Kyle. All right, anybody in the audience like to speak to this ordinance? If so, please step forward, state your name.
Good evening, I'm Bill Hankey, Detroit Lakes. I would like to start out with a question first. In looking at the old ordinance here, I noticed that it was stricken from shoreland impact to shore impact itself with the new ordinance. And so I'm going to ask for definition of that and what the distance implications are just based on that alone. If I'm correct, I believe that the shoreline zone is actually 1,000 feet from the in that shoreline impact zone. And so thus by striking that and using shore impact, to me it seems like it may actually be reducing the distances. Now I know that there's a second portion of this, which does make it probably even a little bit more difficult to, and maybe a little bit misleading, and that is the specific differences of 300 feet for units with less than 1,500 animal units, and then 500 for the larger peanuts. So I would like to start this out with a question first, to just to understand what the impact is of this. And if indeed we are reducing the distances here, how is that really accomplishing protection of our waters? So that would be my initial question. I do have a couple other comments if permitted.
So the clarification there is there is no such thing as a shoreline impact zone by definition. There is only a shore impact zone,
yeah,
either by our ordinance or by the DNR ordinance.
So is that specific to Becker County? Because I know that the shoreline impact zone within the city of Detroit Lakes is 1,000 feet.
You have a shoreline district, you have a shore impact zone. The shore impact zone is half the distance of the required setback, but I'm not aware of any definition of a shoreline impact zone.
Well, I guess I could be corrected, but it's my belief, especially with working with the city, that that they do recognize a shoreline impact zone, which is 1,000 feet. And
that's the shoreline district.
Shoreline.
Impact zone would be, is a more restrictive area of half the setback. So that would be for a river or stream would be 150 feet, where this is saying you have to be at least 300 from a river or stream. So I'm not sure when this was drafted long ago, but there is no such thing as a shoreline impact zone.
Okay.
There is a shore impact zone. And that is the direction.
So was this implied previously that shoreline impact zone was actually shoreline district?
It's never been implied because we've never had anybody, I guess, in the impact zone. You know, like again, that's half the setback. So if you look at this, like I said, a tributary river, the setback, or the shoreline district is 300 feet, okay? So if you were going to say half of that, that'd be 150 feet. But this ordinance says you can't be in that area. So it's just a misintended grammatical error back then. Like I said, by definition, the DNR does not have a shoreline impact zone, nor does the county.
Okay. Fair enough. Then I'm assuming that the city's definition is shoreline district then. Okay. So if I might carry on, then we have a few other concerns. I was heartened a little bit by hearing that there is some move towards monitoring wells specifically. I was curious if there are plan provisions for groundwater as well as surface water monitoring from the standpoint as well. And if so, how final is the ordinance as it's structured tonight as opposed to future amendments? Because there are a litany of other, you know, things that could be written into the ordinance as well. And so maybe I'll just mention a few others that I think are of importance. So is there a plan to consider reparations for damage done? So let's say, for instance, well monitoring for an adjacent landowner or a municipality shows nitrates that exceed the state limits. What are the reparations that are required of somebody that puts in one of these complexes? And then does create issues that I can think of are, again, just generalized pollution, nitrates, the eventual need for well replacement by either a municipality or an individual owner, What are the reparations for potential property value loss? I can potentially scoff at that, but there are examples of that that have occurred in other places where these have proliferated. Uncontrolled odors, public health consequences, over extraction of aquifers, and what about manure spills? And so without that, you know, this ordinance as it's being structured is incomplete because I don't think it goes far enough to protect the waters of Becker County, and I don't think it goes far enough to protect the individual landowner, nor does it go far enough to protect the municipality. And so in the end game, if we don't factor in these external costs, which frequently are not factored in by industries or similar complexes, then the burden is on the property owner, the property taxes, the citizens of Becker County. And I, for one, you know, would just have the admonition is, don't come at me for the costs of reparation because we didn't do our due diligence and expect, you know, somebody that's bringing in greater than 1,500 animal units and tab us with a bill. So I think as the ordinance is being structured at this point, unless there are future amendments and due diligence to want to revise it, it just isn't really protective of the waters, and I think it's kind of shirking the responsibility of the county. I know that a lot of times this is being pushed on the MPCA or the DNR, you know, to influence that. And I think, frankly, the county is culpable for that. So what I would do is I would call on the fact that while this is making some moves, it really has other factors that we haven't thought about and that are not built into this type of ordinance that does require some skin in the game by somebody who's going to bring in an industrial complex and then locate it, you know, within yards of, you know, a waterway. That may lead to a ditch system and a larger watershed district. So thank you, and I hope you take that into account.
Any questions for Bill? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else to speak to this ordinance? Anybody else from the audience that would like to speak to this ordinance?
Just a quick question. What is the MPCA?
Please step up to the mic and state your name, please.
My name is Jared Jareva, and my question was on what is MPCA used for an animal for their regulations?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, at a certain point, the MPCA will regulate everything to do with a certain animal use number. What is, do you remember what that number is?
I was told 1,500, and then also looking at the PCA website, anything over 1,000 requires an environmental review. For new, 1,000 or expansion, I think, of 500.
Good. So. That was my question.
And their first permit is triggered at 50. That's the definition of the project.
All right. Anybody else that would like to speak to this ordinance? Anybody else? That'll close testimony. Open it up for discussion.
I suggested to Kyle that we should probably have something in there about monitor well and monitor well testing, just so it's in this portion of it.
Because there's currently under like the MPCA rules, there's no requirement of any well testing. Is that correct, Kyle?
I honestly don't know.
Don't know. What?
The dairy,
On the dairy, but not surrounding.
Not surrounding.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and it would most likely get your well before anybody else's.
Right.
I mean, that's why they do it that way.
And as far as Becker County goes, there's not a lot of area where we don't have water. And protecting that water for drinking, you know, when it comes to the nitrate level and you know, some of the bad things that come with that. Monitoring would be, I would say, extremely important. You know, from the time that the first animal, you know, would show up on that land or that area, having that baseline of what is now versus maybe a year from now, what if it's changed at all, that's kind of a really a key ingredient in making decisions on, you know, what we should be doing or not doing or not allowing. And so the monitor piece is really big as far as I'm concerned, as far as a science background and making decisions based on some kind of science, not just what somebody thinks. So getting that baseline established would be a key thing, and having those monitoring stations, yeah.
What were you thinking, Mr. Percy, when I'm on the train?
Some type of separate monitor, say downstream from tips or whatever.
Annual or
annual? You know, I kind of mentioned police quarterly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can iron that out in between now and the 31st of what the actual language will be, and you can determine if you want it quarterly or whatever.
So, John, you were thinking monitoring wells within a certain distance of a feedlot that then can be tested on, you had kind of mentioned quarterly, you said, or some type of...
Yeah, not wells, but a well at least, you know,
right.
Down stream, so to speak, from near a handling site.
Right. Well, and monitoring well is a, I mean, it's a term used just where they can do testing. You know, I'm more familiar, we've done a number of sites that have had fertilizer plants and different things where we've had to put monitoring wells in, and they're not horribly expensive, and once they're there, they can just test. They're pretty easy to test, like I say, whether you do them quarterly, every 6 months. I mean, the cost is the testing and obviously somebody coming out to pull them, but once they're in place, you know, and then again, then what's the right depth to test at? I don't know. I mean, I know many different examples where some we've had to go down 100 feet, some are 20 feet down, depends on where some water tables are. So there's some science behind what the state required of us. But
so, Brother, where are you going to place that well? How are you going to start monitoring the distances? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would think there, maybe just go to the MPCA and get their recommendation.
You know, that's...
Yeah. Somewhere in the Department of Health, right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get their recommendation for it, require at least one within
right.
the distance.
Yeah, because it'll show up here before it gets to there.
Right.
Right. I mean, as long as you got a proximity from where, like say, whether it's a manure site or what you're trying to propose. I agree. I'm all for having some monitoring wells and testing when something like this is put in. We just need to make sure there's some verbiage that, one, it means reasonable, you know, and two, like I say, once you do it, it's not real expensive for testing. But
I'm in the wastewater industry, and we have 7 monitoring wells protecting the waste from the Buffalo River. They're checked semi-annually. If they just go to the aquifer and test the water right at water level. So it's to the path of the closest waterway.
Similar to the transfer to the old landfill out north of town, they got quite a few monitoring wells there, and the state came in and surrounding area properties put in more just to see what it was.
It's not a one monitoring well.
No.
Thing.
Right.
Serious.
But I think that it's something that needs to be put in the plan.
I think people kind of forget that water underground moves also. I know up in the Ponsford Prairie, looking at water underground, the water table, it travels northwest to southeast. And so where we live up in the woods, everything that happens on the prairie or towards Park Rapids goes towards Park Rapids and south. So working with the geology people, they would be able to tell you, you know, where those monitoring stations or PCA, whoever would be, they would have people that would tell you kind of where is the best place to put it. And relying on what they have and the information that, based on science and what they know, you know, those stations could be put in the best places rather than us trying to figure out,
right,
you know, where that might go.
Right, we just need to figure out verbiage that makes sense. But then, and like I say, so Kyle, you can do some research between now and the 31st. And
yeah, and I think Kim brought up a valid point. I mean, there's obviously other monitoring wells that we can
right
use. Yeah, whether it be wastewater or near petroleum or whatever,
right,
we can check that they are and probably use something similar.
And to me, annually would be great plenty. You start going quarterly, you know, that's too much.
In the world of science, the more times you can get samples, the better your information is going to be. And doing a sampling once a year is a long time between where something's going wrong and where it's discovered. And so quarterly is, you know, I would say a much better way to go on that.
Yeah, then but who's going to enforce that? You start going quarterly, county's going to have to hire some extra help just to monitor that.
That'd be probably
so
piece.
I think annually, to me, is plenty. It's not going to move that fast.
If you're looking at cost annually, then would be the way to go. If you're looking at protecting the water, then more often is better. And I would still suggest that a minimum of quarterly would be much better as far as us protecting people and our water resource. It's just kind of a no-brainer type of an idea there, where more often is better.
And we got to remember, these ain't going to be close to a whole bunch of wells, these facilities. You know, they're out wherever. You know, you're not going to be impacting a lot of residents and people. That's how I look at it.
What I've seen is a lot of times initial wells will be tested more frequently until they establish a baseline. Then they'll reduce the testing periods after that until they have a change in the baseline. Then it might go back to more testing to see if it's just a fluke, but more often in the beginning. And then once it's stable, once you're getting good testing that's similar, then you keep it at a less frequent rate.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But, you know, the MPCA is kind of the people who, at least on the commercial side, industries deal with and have permits from, and they kind of have the handle on what testing would be needed and for what duration and where the thresholds would be. What I think we want to make sure what we don't create a problem by not testing something, and then down the road we have more, we're just transferring that problem downstream to other people. We want to make sure that doesn't happen in the first place, and then secondly, we want to make sure that we've identified it so it doesn't move up elsewhere.
If you look at the southeast part of Minnesota and they're drinking water, their wells down there, the contamination from farm fertilizer, whether it be animal waste or commercial type stuff, that travels and it affects wells off from the field that it's being used on. And so it's just, it may move faster in some places, in some types of soil. It might move slower in other types of soil. You've got something that's sandy, it's going to move quite fast. which PCA knows all that stuff. And so, anyway, it does travel to neighbors, is kind of the point. It doesn't stay put if it gets contamination of some kind, and we want to find that as soon as we can, so.
But I think that's where Harvey was saying, they're not putting these feedlots on the outskirts of the towns. They're out in the agriculture land, and you have miles around them. And if you're going to move out there, you're taking a chance. Because ag was there way before the development. It's going to happen, but why would you build next to it knowing it's there?
Yes, Becker County has got a lot of residences, not just in Detroit Lakes or Frazee or anywhere. You know, there's a lot of residences out in the country. We're expanding. We're talking about that up here a lot. Certain parts of this area is growing. And you don't have to travel too far in Becker County before you run across somebody's house. You know, if you're in an area, there's houses pretty close by in most places. And so, again, you're still setting it up where people are buying land. They're expecting the water to be clean, and here some industrial farm, through an accident or through too much fertilizer, has contaminated that water that's under the land you purchased. And you should have a right, I guess, as a landowner, not to have had that land polluted or that water made undrinkable or dangerous by somebody else.
All right, well, I think we agree testing. Yeah. We just need to clarify some verbiage.
I think we should do this. I kind of agree with what Jeff was saying and what Kim was saying. There's people that are experts in this. Yeah. I think we go to them. Yeah. I think we just put it in here that we're going to require some type of well monitoring, test monitoring, however.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of good points, but I think if Kyle gets with people from these different agencies, what do you recommend? What is the best? I think we put that into there, call it good. Can always be amended later if we realize it needs to be something more, but I think it's a real good start.
Well, I think, too, threshold limits are important also. As you can collect all the data you want, but what are your interaction points? What are points you take? Do you take action or that?
Thing? Here again, I think we just
that's,
go back
that's
to
this. That's the professionals, but that's what we want to avoid. We don't want to create problems. We understand we utilize land and we're at the, you know, with a certain care and whatnot. We may see some changes in water quality, but it shouldn't be detrimental to the point where it's causing other problems downstream. I think that's what we'd want to avoid ultimately. Use it, but don't abuse it or destroy it.
One of the concerns I've got is PCA is in charge of all this stuff, the inspections and the ordinances and so forth. They have their set of rules. And under their set of rules, there's a lot of groundwater that is gotten contaminated, that is contaminated under those sets of rules. And so relying on PCA is a good start, but under their rules and their leadership so far, water is contaminated. It's getting contaminated. It's not cutting it down. It's not regulating it the way it needs to be regulated. And so we can't just rely on PCA and the regulations they've got. It just has been too many bad things happened to groundwater, surface water, under their regulations. And so whatever
who would
we
go to, Steve, that's any better?
Pardon?
Who would we go to that's any better? I don't think anybody on this board are right. Any experts.
Right.
But well, and then again, they've got new technology they've learned over the years too, right? I mean, that's their rules are not the same as they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I can say they are the experts, and there's none of us up here that are going to make any rules and be smarter than they are. I mean, that's what they do.
I think we just gotta start there.
We gotta start there and then go. We've closed testimony, so I can't. Yeah. And like I say, we can keep.
If you're good with that, I will make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve Chapter 11, Section 2, as written, with the addition of well monitoring, where specific verbiage is worked out between now and the time of the commissioners voting on this with the MPCA and any other, we'll call it, agencies that would be good sources of information.
All right. Second. We got a motion, got a second by Nick. Any further discussion?
Yeah. As far as those distances go, they've been improved, it sounds like, quite if I can figure out these definitions of what shoreline and shore impact zones are. It sounds like it's been improved there. But sometimes those distances, if the feedlot or whatever is located on the top of a hill or a steep slope someplace, if there's tile in the soil, it was a former farmland area, things like that make it not that cut and dry. If they're this distance away, it's okay. I think there's some conditions that we should be looking at at these sites when the applications are made as to make it a little bit more objective and not just the rule says this. If they're on the side hill or in really sandy soil, I think there's some other more objective things that should be considered and thought about instead of just at 300 feet or 500 feet, because that might not be great enough in all places. It might be more than enough in some places, but just relying on distance isn't complete enough. And so I think we need to, as far as that section, if we can add something in there that allows for each specific site some more objective, broad look at the location, especially as to maybe altering the rule, instead of saying 300 or 500, it's maybe in that site it might be 500 and 1,000. So I think there needs to be a little bit more open-ended there, I guess is a way to put it, so that we don't make mistakes just because something is 300 feet away. I don't know how else to say that exactly, but it leaves a door open for a little bit of discussion.
Yes, sir.
I got a question, Mark. A lot of that, what Steve was talking about, we addressed during permitting on that site, wasn't it?
Certainly could be.
You know, your site plan or drainage and all that stuff, so.
You know, to me, a lot of that is just common sense. You're going to build it in the best spot. You put up $1 million facility, you're going to put it where it's going to work. Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
There's too many variables to try and put in an ordinance. If there's a hill here, there's a...
You can't control everything. No. I mean, you're going to just drive yourself batty. This thing will be 2 feet thick if you're going to do that. It's just common sense.
All right.
Any kind of business, you're going to do it the best you can.
Any further discussion?
I've got some more. As far as that comment goes, you're going to do it the best location for your business, but is that the best location environmentally for the county's importance for environment and water quality?
Yes, it is.
I know, well, water quality and environment was the third one on that list of importances from that survey that got put in place. And that was the third one that people wanted to be sure that the county was taking care of that. And just because somebody is putting a building up, and assuming it's in the best place environmentally, it doesn't work that way. You're putting that building up in that location because it's economically for them better to put it there.
Steve, you're going to have
just a second.
Permits to get it done.
Steve, have you ever put any building up for any business? Have you ever worked on that?
The comment's not about me. I'm asking.
Yes, it is.
I'm asking questions about the location of some of these maybe facilities that go up. And
so
they, and
the
strict.
Let him talk, Tom. Tom, let him talk.
I'll answer any questions you have, but just let me finish here. I guess it's the idea that there's a rule, 300 feet, and that might be end up being on a side hill, or might be end up being on sand. It's there has to be some objectivity in those locations, in those ordinances, so that the site kind of can dictate some of where that facility is built. And without that, it opens up the door for somebody to build someplace where the land says, no, it shouldn't be there because the water is going to be impacted, either groundwater or surface water is going to be impacted in some negative way. And without that piece in there, then we aren't doing the job that the community wanted in that survey to protect the environment, to protect water quality. And so adding something into those distances makes it better because it makes us look at the site. Is this site something that the distances need to be adjusted or changed? And having that little open door to look at makes it better for, you know, the people that live in Becker County.
Are you suggesting that soils profile is what needs to be done on particular sites then?
That could be one of the things, the slope of the land. You know, if there's two water sources, one on one side, one on the other side, you know, you're looking at more of a chance of some kind of pollution effect or something happening. If you're looking at a stream that maybe flows through one of those water sites or maybe both of them, that impacts down the road or down the stream farther. There's a number of issues that could be looked at, but a soil profile would be one of them.
Mr. Chair, I think we have a motion and a second to approve what was in the motion, and any change would have to be a change.
Yep, would have to be amendment to the motion.
Yep.
So.
And that would be more relevant.
Yep. So we've got the motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Anybody offering any amendments?
Yeah. How do you vote on this? Do we vote on the motion first and then the amendment?
No. Nope. Nope.
We can just add an amendment?
You just add the amendment. You would add an amendment, and then that would have to be approved and seconded to take that to a vote.
So it's going to be voted on.
Based on my prayer commentary.
No. We've closed testimony. Sorry.
So if I make an amendment, then somebody has to second it.
Yep.
Is that the way it goes?
Yep.
Okay. So I make an amendment for those distances.
But that's all the motion's for.
The motion is to approve this as presented. With an amendment to add for well testing, right? And we got a second. Right. We open for discussion. He's proposing an additional amendment to the motion.
The beginning, yeah.
Correct.
So my additional amendment that I'm asking for is in the section where those distances are laid out, that there be a sentence in there that provides for objectivity of the site in approving or not approving the application for feedlot.
That's that. So what are you asking there? There was really nothing. There was really no amendment. It was vague. There's either a proposal for a change of some distance or something specific in there. There was nothing specific in what your amendment was.
So the amendment that I'm asking for is the objectivity to allow for looking at the soil profiles, the slope of the land, soil type, the amount of water in the area, those objective types of extra points that are important in protecting the land, that those conditions have some kind of a weight on the distances. They can influence those distances that are in there. So
that's type, really,
soil profile, soil slope.
That's vague.
How do you quantify it?
There's no quantification to it, Steve.
How about having PCA and see what they've got for their site besides their staunch rules? What else do they consider?
But PCA already does their permitting. They already have their process. So everyone, they're already going to have their stuff in there. We don't have to add them to support PCAs because theirs is already their stairs. So, so really, I mean, and that stuff they look at in their permitting, we don't have to reinvent what they're doing.
Right.
So,
however, Becker County is the one that's going to give the CUP, give the applicant the permission to build a site. And so from Becker County's perspective, we need to look at those other
But there's nothing quantifiable in that. That's the problem with that amendment. So we either approve this as is because there is no quantifiable part to that amendment, Steve. So unless you have something quantifiable that we can put in it, we need to proceed forward with our vote.
So since I don't have the quantifiable numbers, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not the expert, but if we could leave it open to those questions, have experts speak to those concerns when the application comes across our table.
Mr. Chair, I think if there's an amendment that would come forward, this ordinance could be always amended at a later date.
Right. Yeah. Because what we have here is not an amendment, and we've had plenty of time to discuss. You work through it. I'm going to call a vote. So we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Take a motion to adjourn.
I've got something I would like.
Signed by Harvey.
Okay. I've got something I'd like to put on the
record. The meeting's adjourned. You needed to put that in earlier if you have something you want to put to the record.
I have something here. I've been waiting. I've been polite as far as having this put on the record. And at this time, I ask that this document, which talks to some of the issues around the feedlots, as far as the economic value of it, as far as the environmental impacts it has, this is a set of research that's been done by Willis Matheson and some other people, and you can groan or whatever you want to do, but this is the science. This is what they have found. This is what's in print. It's been researched, and some of the things in here counter.
Meeting is adjourned.
It counters.
Steve,
the county board is receiving several copies of that.
Right.
The county board has that.
Right.
Yeah. But what is, what you guys have is just, Kyle's put in there from what I've read is just.
Oh, we have.